Shut up and sit down.
Hello and welcome to episode 59 of Geek Bros, a podcast in which geeky women, and sometimes guests, record topical conversation and then offer it to the masses. The Geek Bros podcast is supported solely by our patrons at patreon.com/bros. I am the Jen, and I am here with my co-host, as always, September, also known as 9 of 12.
Hi, hi, hi.
Hi, hi, hi. So, Ember, what have you been up to this week?
Well, this weekend in Charlotte, North Carolina has been Pride. I am here recording instead of being at the parade, but I did go yesterday and got to see last week's guest, Big Mama D, on the big main stage. And I got to go back and visit her trailer, and that was nifty, and help some queen get dressed. I don't remember her name, and but, you know, zippers and makeup. And then I went to the Burlesque show that night. I was going to be helping set up because they were missing some tech folks, but I also ended up running the spotlight. So that was cool. That was fun. I haven't done that in, holy crap, 20 years maybe, but nifty. I did want to mention, I misspoke last week about our new recording setup. I'm not using Audacity. We're using Audition. And I just want to make sure to give Adobe some credit because I do find Audition
I often
easier to use.
Conflate the two as well because it's so easy to.
Because their names are sound very similar. Exactly. And you hear so many people constantly talking about Audacity because it is free. But like when you recorded, you know, your own podcast and you're like, I can't make it go. I'm like, let's just use Audition because it's still not fully intuitive, but it's way more intuitive than Audacity. It's worth the price of admission for me.
Oh yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's a great system. Now that I've had a chance to use it, I definitely see the quality. And it's one of those things you get what you pay for, and free things are nice, but sometimes the not so free things are nicer.
Abso-smurfly.
Oh gosh, all the things. So my Pathfinder Mythic game has gotten crazy. We power leveled our Mythic tiers basically so that he can take us where he wants us to go in the story. And we each have our own unique little missions, and I have Arcanist abilities and I have Mythic abilities and then I have feats and then I have other crap. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. It's fun though. I'm enjoying it. It's just crazy. So my local game store had a Gen Can't sale, and I bought a whole butt ton of games. So I got a bunch of games from the clearance table that I wanted for a while. And then if you bought so many items off the clearance table, you got a percentage off of a regular priced item. So I bought Eclipse, which I've been wanting to buy for some time now. It is really amazing.
Eclipse of what you speak.
It is the game that I played at Nerdtacular with Dark Redeemer and other guys. I feel like Preston played with us too, BioCow. And Big Jim. Yeah, we all played it because Dark Redeemer had it, and it is super fun. Super,
cool.
Super fun. Cool. I was being nice and not calling him by his other name,
his true name,
some might say. Oh boy. I've been watching the newest season of Game of Thrones, and knowing that we're coming up to the finale today for this half season, the mid season, and we're not going to get the final half season until next year. I was like, I kind of want to go. I can't believe where we are, because there's no books for where we are in the show. And when I watched the show originally, I had read the books about those first several seasons, right? Because the books are already out. So I went back and I have been rewatching Game of Thrones from season one, episode one. And it is amazing, actually, though. I've been really excited to go back and see like the little nuances that I missed, like the little things that they put in. And it made me appreciate things that they're doing in the current season as nods to things that happened in season one or season two. Like the fact they took the care to do that is, I really appreciate that from a story. So I was pretty impressed.
You know, I should do that because with tonight being the last night, we were going to cancel our HBO add-on to Amazon, and that gives us
Yeah.
about 3 weeks, because I think it was the 24th was our cycle, to wrap up watching the rest of Silicon Valley, which we have become hooked on. So we got to watch all of that too, but maybe.
I gotta finish that. I'm almost, I think I'm one season behind current season.
Yeah, we're loving that right now, but I think we can do it in the next couple of weeks, and maybe I'll go back during the day when Rob's at work, and because I don't think he'll be interested in rewatching Game of Thrones, but I am. I mean, from the beginning, I was just so taken with the costuming as well as how true they were to the books at the beginning.
Oh yeah, and the acting is very good. Like Sean Bean as is that his name? Yes. Ned Stark.
Okay.
The, he is incredible. That actor is amazing. And he plays that. Of course, rewatching him being executed, spoilers, it was season one. Everybody calm down. So one of the board games that I bought in the sale is a two-player board game, and I'm excited to try to play it because I really wanted to have a few more two-player board games in my collection because sometimes you don't always have three or four people, but you just have one other person and you want to play a board game together.
Yeah.
It's called Heir to the Pharaoh, and somebody told me it was good and it was on the clearance table, so now I own it. I'll try it.
Well, that'll be cool. Yeah, it's hard sometimes because it's a lot easier to get two than it is to get larger groups, and that often limits you to like card games.
Yes, and it's nice to play something that isn't a card game. And now it is time for the Geek Grapevine. So you found me a Rhodes Spill.
Of course, I found you a road spell.
So a two-vehicle non-injury crash spills bales of hay across a highway. That's wonderful.
Does it look like they're gonna like they're about to build some kind of maze in the
Yeah. Well, it looks like the rodeo's happening here.
It's like too bad they hadn't spilled
Whoops.
something else there that they needed to just spread the hay on, right? Like, isn't that the wrong way around? Spill the
Right.
hay in the road first?
Yeah. There was I feel like there's also a rolling around in the hay joke here that we haven't quite stumbled upon. That's a good one. All
It's like
right.
they're rolling the hay.
Well found, Ember.
What is Brulims? You see this? It's in front of Brulims.
I don't know what that is.
Brulims. It must be some kind of store, and we're all supposed to know, right?
I guess, and maybe if you live in Idaho, you know.
They needed 2 hours to clean that up, really?
Yeah, it's
Oh, is
Idaho.
yeah, well, it was obviously not like farmers driving the truck because they just toss that shit on there in 10 minutes tops.
And they'd be like, "We're done."
Although maybe those are big enough to need a rig for. Those look like really big bales.
They could be. They could be substantial.
So
Okay,
you've got something
so
about like Hollywood crap that you care about.
it's not Hollywood. Every year, Forbes puts out the list of the highest paid actors and actresses, and it's like a money thing. And I just was particularly interested because in the list this year, first of all, Emma Stone unseated Jennifer Lawrence as the highest paid actress. Which that
Wow.
humors me because she's just a big dork and has been like, I really appreciate her as an actress. I think she does some really fun work. So I was excited to see that she is now the highest paid actress. But also, what really excited me is that Melissa McCarthy is fourth on that list. And I think that's awesome. We are now in a time where a woman that is not a size two is in the top five of highest paid actors.
Well, that and they're like strong women that have no fucks to give, and that's pretty cool on its own.
Absolutely. But also like just yeah, exactly. And I love Melissa McCarthy. So I was really, really happy to see that. So that's why I put it on there. Not because I really give a shit about what happens in Hollywood. Oh, also, Mila Kunis is 5, and she's wow. So she's obviously cool.
Yeah, she's all right.
All
I just picked on you because
right.
you're like you're the girlier one, right? Like you.
Yeah, I'm a little bit more in touch with the things that I'm supposed to be in touch with. My lady ways. Sure. I buy that. Oh no, I love this. This is a great article because I'm glad you found the well-curated list.
Yeah, I'm really. Oh, thank you, Ars Technica. I love this article. And you'll be able to find the link in our notes because I've been hearing. I mean, we listen to a lot of podcasts ourselves, and I've been hearing all about Gen Con, and I listen to, Scott Johnson and Patrick Beja doing their blow by blow coverage watching Gen Con, right? And the videos that came out, and my kids are all into the games, but this article is about board games that were released at Gen Con. And I was like, okay, first on the list, Fallout. And it looks really cool. It looks like the mapping looks a little Catan-ish, but there's a lot of other elements going on in this game. And you're like,
Also, it's made by Fantasy Flight Games, and I love their games. They made the Game of Thrones game. They made the my other favorite game that my brain is. Many games that I own and love are made by Fantasy Flight.
I want to know if this big mat it's being displayed on is part of the kit it comes with. I know having play tested in other places, sometimes there's a nice mat, for play testing, and then it's not actually part of what comes in the box. So I'm curious about that or how you would get such a thing, because that looks like a really good way to play. Kind of like with Magic, you can buy those big mats, but it's not something that, comes with it. So
I
what
do like that
else? Oh.
games are offering add-ons like that. That's been kind of a trend lately, where you're able to like upgrade to like special add-ons like that, like a premium version. And I really do appreciate that. I hope more games continue to do that. I really like it. I'm willing to pay $20 more for a system to better organize this or that, but then understand that not everybody wants that level of the board game.
Well, and something like this, what it looks like. It looks like one of those, magic mats. So you've got a little softness to it. Instead of, because when you're dealing with something you want to last a long time and it's made with little cardboard tokens and cards and all the edges get banged up, I mean, a lot of wear and tear happens on your game that could be prevented playing on this kind of mat, but not everyone has a dedicated gaming table, right?
Yeah, in fact, I almost put it in here. There's a Kickstarter, speaking of a gaming table that I was like, this looks a lot like some tables that I saw at a convention in Chicago years ago. Turns out it's the same company, but they're kickstarting these game tables. I'll add it on our feed, on our Twitter
Okay.
feed, and on our Facebook. It's out of my price range, but for $800 or $900, you can get a custom gaming table that's like inset. And then you can put like the panels over the top so you can keep your game going and then have it be a normal table again. It has cup holders, it has USB charging ports. It's basically designed to be a table for you to run games at, and I think that's awesome. And if I was a little bit more financially stable right now, I would definitely buy one. But I'll add a link to that.
I'm just wondering what a good way to print on this type of material would be, or if I can get this material at my local store. I'm like, now that I said it out loud, because we have a big, it's our dining room table that we game at, I would like to just have a rollout where I could just throw that foam down when we are gaming over there. So anyway, what
Yeah,
else?
definitely.
Rising Sun.
Oh yeah, that looks cool.
That looks kind of cool. It's nice big 3D figures. It looks like somebody used an awful lot of 3D printer material to make that one. Number 9 looks neat. This is like a
I was just gonna
Tetris board
say,
game.
it's like a Tetris puzzle, and I was just gonna comment. That's the one I'm excited about that one too, because games like that are not terribly expensive. They're really usually small enough that you can throw them on a trip, right? You can just toss them in a go bag when you're going on a trip. And it's nice to have something that has limited setup because sometimes you don't have time for a full detailed board game, but you want to play something that's fun. Like I do Unspeakable Words in that situation sometimes, but I think this game would definitely be something that would fit that need.
Yeah, it looks like a cross between Tetris and a less complicated Jenga. from the rules I'm reading about how you have to place with different numbers. This would be great with kids too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I also am not interested in photosynthesis.
Yeah. It's like it's very pretty, but whoa, does it look boring? Like you seriously, you plant seeds and grow things and then harvest trees. What?
The one that this dragon one is interesting, the Dragonfire one is interesting to me because it's made by the same guys that did the Shadowrun game 2 years ago, three years ago now. And that's pretty fun. So
I've
that could be really
seen,
good.
yeah, I've seen the Shadowrun Crossfire at Connor's Club, and it's complicated but well designed.
Yeah. And then there's also Lord of the Rings game too. I don't know if you
Well,
ever
can't have
played
enough of that. Well, and
that
there's a new
tabletop.
Cthulhu game. It's made by Iello, which I'm not familiar
Oh,
with
they're
that
always
company.
good. Always good. So good.
So it's like Mountains of Madness. Is that the same one that made? I'm gonna look in here. Blah, scan, scan, scan.
ELO is there are games that you've played and loved that are made by ELO. ELO is one of my trusted game companies.
Well, we're Lovecraft fans in my house, so I'm looking
Oh,
at
of
this
course.
for Christmas time for sure. Love
Is it
Lovecraft.
ILO or ELO?
Well, it's spelled Iello.
Yeah, that's right. ILO. It's actually ILO.
Okay.
Before anybody messages me and tells me that I don't know that I'm pronouncing it wrong, it
I
is
mean, it could
ILO.
be
They
Ilo, it
made,
could be like.
yeah, it's ILO. They made King of Tokyo.
Oh, okay.
They made my game in Enter the Dungeon, which I like. They also did there's like a dice one that they did that a lot of people like, and I can't remember the name of it. But anyway, they're a good game company.
Yeah, the train game. Don't know, man. I like route building games, but that looks a little overcomplicated.
That one does look a little complicated. I
And
agree.
Civ, I heard about this actually the other day. I talked about this on Part-Time Gamers recently. And I love this idea. I didn't, or no, we talked about it last week on Geek Grills. That's right. Because Mama told me there had been a previous Civilization board game, which I didn't realize. The other article I had seen acted like it was brand new for Civ to be a board game. But that is not, in fact, the case. But this is a new one, a new dawn, rather than an expansion. And this looks good. I mean, this looks like it plays out kind of like a more complicated Risk, which is what Civ feels like, right?
Yes, I could agree with that.
I like the idea. This is something I think that the tabletop club should have, and maybe my game store should have.
I also said enter the dungeon. It should have been welcome to the dungeon. Corrections, stop your emails. I apparently need fact checkers this morning, everyone. I have not had coffee, so clearly I need somebody to stand by and fact check everything I'm saying because apparently I'm a little mistaken today.
We just
Oh
want more
boy.
emails. I know you're baiting them.
That's right. I'm just like, please email me. I mean, don't email me. Email me.
But yeah, the Civ
Seriously.
is Fantasy Flight Games as well.
Yeah,
So
exactly.
what else? Oh, Custom Heroes.
Yeah, that looks interesting. Different, but interesting. I could get intrigued with that. I'd want to play it before I bought it for sure.
Totally. So that's why I like that. And then what? Infection, virus. Man, what is it with that lately?
Yeah, that's like a thing right now.
Yeah. Oh, it has been for a while. Now, what is this? Founders of Gloomhaven. Wow, that looks really complicated. Okay, anyway, it's a long
Yes,
list.
there
Take a
are,
look at the
yes,
article. Lots of
it's
cool
really
board
good.
games, which makes me excited. I mean, whenever there's a whole bunch of board games and that it's at a con like this, I wish I could have been there. I'm just flipping through the article going, "Damn it."
Friends and people I used to LARP with all worked on the newest release of Vampire the Masquerade at Gen Con, and they did some play tests there and some other things. That was cool to get some more intel on what was going on with that, which is fun. Yeah, it's pretty cool. So yeah,
Code
so that's
Names Duet. Yeah, okay, that didn't make the list, but I'm like, yeah, because that's a good game and adding a, it could
Everybody
use another
loves Code
level.
Names.
Yeah, and that's another great, you can just pick it up and go.
I've
So
never
just.
played it because every time I've tried to buy it, it's sold out.
Oh.
So I had my hard time getting my hands on it. But I can have the game store order it. And now that you mention it, I'm doing that because I've been really upset that I don't own it.
Yeah, it's real. I mean, it's real simple. I don't know. And it's really
In
replayable.
theory,
And you can reteach people. I mean, I played it finally at the club, and it was just like the club overflowed. The room was full, and there were kids just sitting out in the student union on chairs. And I walked up, and they had it set on an ottoman.
that's funny.
And I
Awesome.
just did that. So, yay.
Yay. Well, I participated in Gen Con, as I mentioned, in a different way. I did Gen Can't and bought myself new board games. So I felt like I got to kind of participate.
Gen
Oh,
can't.
so.
It's going to be like, and then we'll have BlizzCon where Jen can and I can't, and I'll have
Oh,
my
no.
virtual as usual though.
So, today's discussion topic. I want to talk about ancestry.
It's been 100 years, and as I look around, I see a mighty city where there once was a battleground. I thought when they surrendered, we would fight no more. But the ghost of Lee can still see us fight the Civil War.
So this worked its way into my brain because a couple months back, I started digging into my genealogy and just trying to find out where my grandmother was at with my line. And then on my dad's side, neither of his parents are alive any longer. So we were doing some searching to try to see if I can officially be connected. Not just as a daughter of the American Revolution, but possibly a daughter of the Civil War, depending on the connections. Because I'm a Lee, the Lees of Old Virginia Lee. And this also became slightly more interesting this past week, where it has turned out that Robert E. Lee was terrible to his slaves, and now they're like talking about taking down statues and all of that thing. And it's like been a point of pride that I might in some way be related to him. And now it's been a thing where I'm like, huh, maybe he's not so cool. And does that matter? So yeah, so that's kind of where this topic came from. That's how things started.
Now, how who was taking this as a great source of pride? I mean, just that he was good at what he did, sort of?
I did because he was a great military mind. He was good to his wife. His wife actually was. He didn't like keep his wife tucked away like a lot of other Southern people
Right.
did. Like she actually had an existence, and in general, it was the whole theory was because he was offered to be a general of the North and the South. And his argument for why he became the general of the South was that he didn't want to fight against his own people because his family was in Virginia. Now, what's interesting about that is that now it may have been, there's now understanding that maybe it was just because, or that he wasn't actually as okay with slavery going away as previous accounts had insinuated.
Well, I mean, he took people to fight and die to preserve it, so I don't know if I would have ever bought into that.
Well, again, that also comes down to how you feel about the Civil War, though, because there's a lot more happening there. I mean, it's a means of industry is what it was. It's greed, politics. But also, let's be honest, people that didn't
Right, but part of that
necessarily.
was treating people as a commodity. So, I mean, it really does boil down to that, whether people say, oh, but it was states' rights or it was business. It
No, but
was
that's my
still that,
point. Yeah,
yeah.
absolutely. But at the same time, how many. It's like I don't know, in that situation where it's be the general of the North and fight against your family and murder your brothers and sisters and your cousins and your parents and everybody else, or be the general of the South, which maybe not be on the right side as far as morals, but yet not go against and betray your family. That's a tough situation to be in.
Sure. I think I wouldn't
So,
fight. I think I certainly wouldn't be able to,
sure.
with good conscience, take a leadership position, especially.
Well, he was already a leader in the military, though.
Yeah.
But I agree. I think that there's obviously, I'm not saying he's without. I'm not saying that he is without wrongdoing at all, at all. I do think that this account came out 2.5 weeks ago and does not really line up with many of the accounts in the past about Robert E. Lee in particular. And I feel like that's not a reason to start going and ripping down statues that have been up for quite a long time. Like, I feel like we should take a breath. I feel like there are, like, if we're going to target things like that, can we get rid of Columbus Day? I guess is how I feel. The
And
Confederate
those are
flag, I
being targeted.
understand.
Those are also
Sure.
being targeted. I've seen there's a Columbus
The
statue
Confederate flag,
in.
I understand. Like, get rid of that. Sure. I understand that there's a lot of hate involved in it. And people are like, oh, it's the old South and it's all that. And it's like, yeah, that's the problem. It's the old South.
And you got to look at when those statues were put up. I saw an interesting timeline about when they were put up, and there's a lot of interesting, very valid arguments about. They are particularly to stand for the oppression because of when they were put up. They weren't put up, right after the war or during the war while it was some kind of rise to what they thought was going to be power if the South won. They were put up before segregation had ended. They were put up in the height of the Jim Crow era. It was very much a stark reminder. I mean, the what. Our African American friends see when they go past that, that's what was intended in venerating those people. If you look at the timeline of when most of them were put up, I mean, there are
Sure.
monuments to
And
soldiers that died in those wars and they died for
sure.
what
And
they
there's
believed in. And so, sure, but
and
a
there is
monument is different than a statue of a person.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm using that word maybe interchangeably, to be fair. I'm not necessarily using it in that
Sure.
way, where I'm not saying build it in as a monument necessarily as much as a statue and a and I think maybe that's my difference. I think that if we tear those things down, then we're trying to shove a part of our history under the rug. You know what I mean?
I think,
And I don't like
well,
that, but I do also want to note that Robert E. Lee specifically, before he died on several occasions, made it clear that he did not think that Civil War monuments should exist or memorials, because especially Confederacy, because he felt that there was some quote where like one should not keep open scores of wars or something like that, what he said, which I
Well, and
find interesting.
specifically, I mean, it was specifically trying to secede and tear apart the country. So it
Yeah,
seems
no,
bizarre
absolutely.
to have monuments to it in that respect. Another interesting, I here in North Carolina, our governor proposed that we move them to museums. And I think that is a much more appropriate venue
Yes,
than having
yes.
them in the public square where you see them
Sure.
like here. To go to like a government office, you've got to, look at that. And I think that's not
I could
fair.
agree
People have
with that.
different,
I didn't hear about that solution, and I could agree with that because I think when I think from my standpoint, the part that bothers me is that it's a part of our history.
Right. And I think
You
museums
can't
is a more
take it
appropriate
away.
venue.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
Germany took down all Hitler's shit and nobody forgot. I think to act like we were forgetting it
Well, they also do
is.
also consistently say, never forget, and work very hard to make sure that it's never forgotten.
Believe
But
me, you can drive down the street here and you can see plenty of flags flying, and then nobody ain't forgetting anything. There's a
that's
bumper
my
sticker
point, is
I
that that's
saw the
not
other
how
day
it is
here.
in some of the other states, though. Like Virginia
Maybe.
in
Well, I mean, there's
particular.
whole
Virginia in
reenactments.
particular is where the majority of the fight took place because Richmond was the capital of the South. DC was the capital of the North. Fredericksburg in the middle is where a lot of shit clashed. And I guess there's just a lot of things in Fredericksburg and in that area that they're not in the center of the town square. There's like a small like park thing that has like statues and other things. Mm-hmm. And people are saying about taking that out. And I think that's terrible because I think it's educational and it's historical. It talks about the things that took place on that land. And it's, it also describes the descriptions of brother fighting against brother and all of the, do you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to say that there's a yeah. lesson to be learned there. If it's not, I don't want it to be something as being idolized. Like, and I guess that's what monument means. So I guess that makes sense. I don't want there to be monuments. I don't want there to be idolization of this. I also think that, but it is also personally, obviously affecting me because like being a potentially related to Robert E. Lee again has been a point of pride in my family. Now not feeling so great about that. So it kind of makes this interesting ancestry conversation just more interesting and more complex.
Well, there are some really great, historic walks. I like that sort of thing. I remember walked by one in Charlotte this morning, and I know you can do it, you know, on Paul Revere's ride. And I know there are places in Virginia where, you know, it's like a plaque that explains something. And you walk down the road and there's another plaque, and a lot of them are poker stops, right? So I've been seeing a lot more of these than I ever knew existed in the last couple of years. It's like, I didn't know that was here. Like, there's a war memorial in the cemetery I go to for Pokemon all the time. So I love that sort of thing. The other thing about statuary I wanted to bring up is in this controversy, a friend of mine emailed me an article that I think you'll find interesting because along with like the solution our governor had, put it in a museum.
I like that.
My friend Peter had sent me an article someone wrote about the whole idea of venerating people with a statue, having that sort of thing as a public display for anything, no matter what side of what you're on, being poisonous in our society. The idea that it glorifies fame. And we know that, especially in the last, like, I don't know, 15, 20 years, that glorifying fame with more recent acts of terrorism, for instance, and drawing that line and this dumpster fire of a fucking reality show president we've got, right? And that glorifying fame, whether it was something good you did, something bad you did, something great you did, like just having, making sure your image is burned forever in people's minds. And I just thought that was an interesting perspective on the idea of statuary of particular figures at all.
Yeah, that's definitely, that is very interesting. And that's why I actually, part of the reason I bring this dialogue to you is because I'm like, okay, these are the feelings I'm having. This is where I'm at with things. What other information do I know or not know? And this is where I will also remind listeners, if you have things to share and information and thoughts and ideas and opinions, please share them. I am interested. I'm open. I am in a weird place with this particular conversation because, like I said, it's kind of fracturing everything that I've been like, I've been a Lee my whole life, you know? And it's just interesting because it's making me think about myself in a way that I had never really thought about. Like, should I feel bad for what my ancestors, like what those that came before me did or chose to do with their lives, you know? Am I beholden to what they did or did not do in the case of those that just didn't stop the whole machine or the whole train as it started going, you know? So on the other side of the coin, you know, I have this situation where I'm like, okay, do I need to feel bad about, or, you know, and how I feel about the some perhaps negative aspects of my ancestry in the same way, I feel a lot of pride for the women in my family that came before me. On my mother's side, there are many women in my family that came from the Azores, the islands off of Portugal. And they were strong, tiny, short, little battle axes of women that outlived their husband by 30 or so years at least in almost every case.
Neato.
And were badasses. Their husbands got sick, they worked. You know, like they're like they were just that's how they all were. One of them somehow learned how to read and write, and that's how she even moved to the US. You know, on the one side I have this, does ancestry matter? Well, I hope so, because I'd like to think that I have some of their spirit in me as far as how I handle and take care of myself and stand up for myself and be a strong woman from that standpoint. I can take a lot of pride in that aspect.
I think you get a full pass on the any negative aspects of Robert E. Lee. I think all those genes went to the parts of your family that subjected you to Fox News on your last visit and made you so crazy you had to call me from restaurant parking lots of stove. They got those genes.
Sad part is that it's that they're not on the right side, but maybe it just hopped over. It just magically transitioned to the wrong side of the family. But yeah, it's interesting how, like, you know, I guess in some ways you can take things, but I know you find the concept of genetic memory interesting. And I think you should kind of explain a little bit more about what that is. And I know it's kind of taking this conversation a different direction, but I'm glad you put that there.
Yeah. Well, when the topic listed was ancestry, does it matter? It's all I saw. And we hadn't had a chance to talk about before. I'm like, I don't know what she means. So I was more
It was like the weirdest game
ancestry.
of Pictionary. What am I trying to tell you with these?
Right? So you're talking about like family history, ancestry, and I was thinking about like science. Yeah, I do find the idea of genetic memory very fascinating. I mean, it's just so, for instance, personal experience, my eldest son, his father is not present in his life. They haven't seen each other since my son was like 2. My son's only seen a handful of pictures even. I think they might have spoken on the phone the other day for the first time in like ever. But I'm not even sure yet because no one's responding to me. But he looks like his father, and it goes further than that. There are like mannerisms. Because I was really
That's
close
so
friends.
weird. And I've had a friend
Yeah.
that had a similar situation.
Like voice
Weird.
inflection things or a mannerism that there's like you. Where the hell else would you pick it up, right? I mean, things that are physical traits are one thing. For instance, when Connor was, I want to say he was 8 or 10, my girlfriend Tony saw him walking. We were going to meet up somewhere and she spotted him first. And she spotted my son by his gait because she thought it was his father. Like for a second. And I was like, oh no, it's a little kid. Oh shit, that must be Connor because he walks just like Dibs. But that you could
That's
explain away
crazy.
with like just physical traits, right? Like they have the same skeletal and muscular build, for instance. But things like mannerisms, like facial expressions that are quirky is like, that's wild.
You know what I found interesting is that my great grandmother, before she passed away, I never met her mother. But her mother is somebody that I've learned about her story. I again have a lot of pride in where she came from. And part of that is because my great grandmother told me that I remind her a lot of her. Like the way I speak, the way I carry myself, like I just have a lot of mannerisms, which is interesting because that's my great great grandmother. And I'm curious how much of that, you know, could just be some of it could just be genetics. In some ways, you know, how my
And we
brain
don't
works.
know. Like, we can't. My understanding, last I was reading about it, they haven't found any genetic proof of genetic memory. It's a psychological term.
Right.
But there are a lot of interesting articles you can find about it.
Well, think
Ancestral
about the
memory,
fact that,
racial
like,
memory. Like, there's a lot of different terms for it because we're still trying to figure it out. But because it does seem there are just so many cases of memories being inherited.
But also think about like the situation of, I'm sure you've heard this. It's been a million times you've heard this story. Twins that were separated at birth, haven't known each other forever, right? And then it turns out that they're like in the same field of work, very similar lives, are very similar in every way. You know what I mean? So right. If that situation can happen, how unlikely is it that we carry forth some genes that can have a strong impact in some situation, you know, on what our mannerisms are like?
Well, and I mean, why not? There are people who just, they just find this really infeasible and ridiculous and stupid. And, but why not? I mean, I've made babies, right? Like, created a whole human in my body. And at some point, not only is their genetic material shared, but they had to get that bioelectrical jump start, right, to their heart, to their brain. Why would the cells not, like, copying? We base computer technology, I mean, a lot of it has always been just like trying to make a brain, right? And so sense to me that, like, part of we might be copying, and for evolution to work, which we know works, you can see it generationally, you know, traits changing, and you've done it, of course, more quickly with animals for the experiment's sake, but there would need to be something carried into the next generation in order to solidify those physical changes that happen.
This is a completely unrelated topic. I agree with everything you just said. But I have to mention, I forgot to mention it, and I wanted to mention it in the geeky things of the week thing. So I work for a newborn stem cell bank, and we are heavily invested in research, and we support research efforts happening in areas, not just with specific conditions and, you know, clinical trials for families using their stem cells, but also for just the technology in the industry in general. So our company was participating in a study about the ability to expand human regulatory T cells. So that's one of the big problems, is that when you have these cells, like, you can't expand them. You have a finite resource, right? Well, the idea is if you can expand them, then they no longer are a finite resource. So regulatory T cells are one of the cell types that are in with all the stuff that cord blood is in, or and the University of San Francisco just published their study and the results of this study that a type of expansion is now possible. It's not full expansion, but it is like, basically it is the pathway to expansion of regulatory T cell, which
that's
is really
amazing
and cool. So I was really excited about that. And I totally got to nerd out when that was like, we had like a little news brief at work, right? And I'm like, this is so cool. But yes, the genetic conversation, obviously,
yeah,
made me think about this. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Cause like, I'm fascinated by genetic memory in the same way I've always been fascinated by the idea of the collective unconscious, because that's like kind of the thing that ties together all my, how I understand spirituality and religion and the way people need it and relate to it or don't need it, but like the things that tie us together that you can't explain, you know, like different cultures
like
coming up with the same stuff,
the same archetypes, like the fact that the same archetypes exist in almost every single creation story in every different religion in the world.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Like,
so, like, I think it was Jung coined. Yeah, I think it was Jung that coined the collective unconscious thing, and it was just like
right.
And I was studying psychology, and I was also studying world religions at the time. So it was like, ding, ding, ding. To me, it all hooked together. And now I just found this article I just linked for us about genetic memory, and they actually in this article talk about how it kind of is a different version of the collective unconscious, which is I see them a little differently, but I can understand how they got in the same article, because it's more just trying to explain stuff.
Well, that's part of it too, is that right now it's like out in that part of the world or like in that field because we don't understand it. But once we get to a point where we do understand it, then it'll be science. But for in the meantime, it's just theory.
Yes. In the meantime,
and fascinating
it's
things
woo.
To think about. Yeah, exactly. It is a little bit of woo now, but hopefully someday it will be science.
Well, on my ancestry, my understanding is from something somebody did a long time ago is related to Mary Queen of Scots on the Stuart side. But then there was a name change.
I am too. We're probably like 16th cousins, seven times removed or something.
I think everyone is.
I know. But Mary Queen of Scots is one in particular my grandmother found on my grandfather's side.
Yeah, I don't know how reliable that ancestry was. We'll see. And then I don't know with my, I have a great grandmother who was adopted.
Ah.
And no one's ever dug into that ancestry, so that's very curious. She has interesting traits, and I wonder if I might not be as white as I look, which would be cool.
I'm thinking about doing the that 27andMe thing. I really think I might do it. I'm really interested to see what that is, because I'm so much like Heinz 57, and I don't know as much on my dad's side. Like, I only found out after my grandmother passed that when she said her parents were English, I didn't understand that meant that they were immigrants from England that had her here.
Ah. Like,
I thought they just had English ancestry. They were actually born in England and lived there most of their lives and only moved here a couple years before she was born.
And I know you know you meant 23andMe, right?
23andMe. Did I say 27?
You did.
There's a reason why, and I will not explain it, but my brain has been dealing with that. Yes, 23andMe.
But my understanding is...
You know me on that one, everyone.
Right? Like, oh my God, you're handling stem cells and you don't know genes.
No, I'm not. I'm just selling vault space. No.
But my understanding is I'm German, French, and Scottish. When I joined the SCA, I went with a Scottish persona. To try and learn more, you know, have motivation to learn more of just the culture. But I never did dig into the ancestry. Now, I do have an amazing pile of stuff. My mother-in-law from Rob's side. She's a little on our side, but she took a course in genealogy.
Yeah, that's what my grandmother did.
Oh,
that's where all this
gosh.
Got started.
It's amazing. And she tracked back to, like, Robbie Burns on that side of the family. So that's pretty awesome.
So see, so, like, your sons will have, will know a great deal about their history on that side. That's awesome that she did that.
Yeah, I should, and I'm trying to kind of, I'm kind of like, I want my mom to take a course and do our side. But I have asked her for a list, like a basic list as far as everyone she knows. So that if I get around to doing it, I can at least have something to start with. Because right now, I have very little to start with. I don't really know past my great-grandparents on my mother's side. And I don't even know past my grandparents on my dad's side. So it would be a long haul. But I like that kind of research. If I ever find the time.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing. My grandmother's retired. So when she sat down a couple years ago and decided that this was a big project she was going to do, she spent all day like it was her job because she's retired, so she has all that wonderful time, and she did learn a lot of really interesting things. So yeah.
Oh, and it's pretty great, like the photos and news articles and the materials she gave us from that class are just amazing to have.
That was really cool too, because she was able to go back through and figure out who some people were in some of the pictures and the photo albums. We didn't know who they were, but then when we were able to cross-reference from other people's trees, like she got in contact with people. And then, of course, when she went back to the Azores, she got the baptismal records from my great-great-grandmother, so we could find out that she didn't only lie about her age by like 5 years, like we thought, but she lied about her age by 17 years, which means she had her first and only child at 52 in 1910.
Wow.
I don't know how that happened. But yeah, apparently when she found out that they make you stop working at 65, so she lied about her age as far as she thought she could so that she could work for an extra like amount of time, because that was a problem. Like when people were writing their letters back and forth to family members, I think that was a huge problem, that they were being told that they had to stop working at 65, but they didn't have like money to like continue to live on.
Right.
And so when she was writing, because again, she could read and write. So she would, they would dictate their letters to their family members and she would write them. And then when the letters came in, she would read them the letters. Yeah, kind of weird. So anyway, that was an interesting topic that I felt needed a discussion. I feel good about that. I feel like I got to air some, I got to vent a little bit, air some grievances, perhaps get some new mindset on the
different
on
points the of view.
Yes, I like POV. I like that. So yeah. So by the way, as I mentioned before, if you'd like to chime in or tell me that I'm crazy and that I'm a racist because my great 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 grandfather owned slaves, that's fine. You can do that too. you can email us at geekgirls@gmail.com or give us a ring at 508-474-5577. So, lady, what are you most anticipating now? What's coming up?
So, tomorrow, the other boy that lives at home, the high schooler, is starting school. So I'm looking forward to some quieter days. Rob is working only from home till further notice. So maybe some little joy in the afternoon too. My
really
birthday.
Afternoon delight is playing in my head and now it's going to be stuck in my head all day. Thank you, Denver.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes I get like that. And my birthday's coming up soon.
Hooray.
Don't know what I'm going to do. Hopefully
I'm
something good
celebrate.
Will
celebrate.
Yeah. Well, like the week after, we're going to the beach on a trip with a whole bunch of people. But I don't know.
So plans for BlizzCon have been getting put together. That's what I've been working on. Trying to get things ready, making sure I have my hotel, making sure I know all the things that are happening and all the days that things that are happening are happening. And then I am trying to get back into Hearthstone right now with the new X pack, but I missed the pre-order of packs, which I'm very pissed off about because now I don't have that card back, which irritates me. But I had a bank kerfuffle right around that time, so I didn't get to buy it. And I'm really excited because we're going to be putting a date on the calendar to have the Questforge Arena guys on our cast, which should hopefully happen next month in September when their Kickstarter launches. So I'm really excited about that because I've been talking to those guys and I can't wait to have them on. I'm super stoked.
And you got to play that, right, at NerdTacular?
Yes, I did. And it's really fun. And I also, they've been doing sessions on Twitch. I'll put a link, but they've been doing sessions on Twitch where they are streaming some of the answering, basically doing Q&As and also watching him create some art and talk about the art. And that's really interesting too.
Right.
So him and it's been really cool to watch. So I will share a link to that. So it's getting excited. They're getting ramped up, basically. They're building that buzz, which is important when it comes to Kickstarters. Now, aside from that, I would like to note we are wholly supported by Patreon here at Geek Grills. If you'd like to become a patron, you can do so at patreon.com/grills. And I just want to say thank you to all of our patrons. You guys are awesome. I want to apologize for my chaos the last few weeks, but just want to let you know that I appreciate several of you sent me messages of care and concern, and I appreciate that. I am okay. I am well. I just have chaos sometimes, but that might be subsiding. But yeah, and apparently we have an iTunes review. So if you don't have, coins to throw at us, you also have the option to do a free thing, and that's to give us an iTunes review. So tell us more.
So we did get a new 5-star review from kind listener Atomic09. It says, modern geek culture, deep conversations, and edgy humor are the foundations of this refreshing, delightful show. I end up listening to each episode several times, and I found myself making notes on topics to research further. This original program gets my highest endorsement. Well done.
Aww. That is a really amazing review. Like, that's right? Awesome. That's like what we're trying to do. Summed up in an amazing review. You are some human. Thank you for sharing your kind words. Oh my gosh. All right, Ember.
Some human. You are some human. Sounds like some pig. Like I got the Charlotte's Web. There's like a some human sign over us.
Right? No, it's more like a babe. That's some pig kind of thing.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
You are a very impressive human to me. I would like to find out where folks, before I cry for that wonderful thing, where can
I'm gonna tell you the secret identity and actually make you cry when we're done recording.
Oh God. Where can people find you on the internet, Ember?
I can be reached at 9 of 12 on Twitter and Twitch, and you can hear me on the Part-Time Gamers podcast as well.
And you can find me at The Jen Says on Twitter, and hopefully someday when I fix my green screen and the chaos, twitch.tv/TheJenPlays. Oddly enough, you need a computer to stream. It's weird.
Right?
Thanks for listening, everyone. Good game.
GG!
Good game, GG.
Enjoyed the show and have the quill skill to shriek speech? Leave us a 5-star unique critique on iTunes or thrill us with the size of your handbill by spilling goodwill into our tills at patreon.com/grills. We can also be found windmilling around Facebook and YouTube at facebook.com/geekgrills and youtube.com/geekgrills, where we like to chill. Tweet your siren songs where the throngs belong on Twitter at geekgrills, where we're dressed to kill. For more info on the show, though, go to geekgrills.com, where you can find previous episodes, show notes, and current contest information. Send us your psalms and qualms to geekgrills@gmail.com or give us a ring at 508-474-5577, where we can hear your lovely voice sing the zing thing. Thanks for listening.